morning philosophy. Welcome to all of you folks out in cyberspace, and welcome to our studio audience here. Many of them are gathered around the coffee pot. It's a delicious smell of coffee in the hall this morning, the aroma. All of you people out there will have to get a virtual shot, but we can have the real thing. So I'm just going to give them a couple of minutes to take care of their details, and then we'll start in a moment. I promise I won't sing to you during the interval. One thing we would like to mention, though, is that we have here at 1012, we have a little more relaxed attitude to the classes. So feel free to get up and refresh yourself during the class, just as if you would during life analysis training or psychomanagement training class downstairs. And I'll do the announcements later, but I just thought I'd mention that our this Tuesday, March the 3rd, our psychomanagement training is starting here for 8 weeks in here at 5912, 7:30 p.m. And cycles is one of the key components of the Kaplan philosophy, the concept that time travels in a cycle and that we can understand that and that there is an appropriate time to start things, an appropriate time to finish things, and that at certain times in a cycle we reap what we have sown, which we are seeing out in the economic and political world. But then there is always an opportunity for renewal, and nature always gives us an example to look towards. And in the Northern Hemisphere, at this time of year, the end of February, beginning of March, spring is just around the corner. And, well, maybe some of the snowdrops are out. Some of the daffodils might be out here in British Columbia and the coast. It's still a little early yet, but things are working under the surface. The seeds that fell from, you know, the harvest last fall have been lying under the ground, and the rains are now germinating them. And this represents the two quality, or the second phase of the cycle, when life is burgeoning and the dormant seed is turning into a real living plant. And in our own affairs, this is a time when it's appropriate to meet socially with other people and discuss your ideas with other people and get their feedback and to learn to understand other people and get along together. And that's what we would learn about in psychomanagement training. So this morning, for the thought for the breathing, I thought we might just consider the seeds germinating under the ground and the buds coming out on the trees and think of how we could use this two-quality in our own lives and relate it to our own cycles as well, to better understand and to help our fellow man. Thank you. So this morning, we have a very special presentation for you on the role of refinement in mental growth. And why would that be important to us? Well, the speaker will give you a great understanding of that. But it is important to realize that life is growth, the purpose of life is growth, and we grow from something small to something large, and refinement is an important part of that. Our speaker this morning, Mr. Don Maxwell, has been part of a planning group that has looked at opportunities for marketing the Kelbourne philosophy. He has designed, been part of teams that have designed these courses, and he has been our instructor for many of the courses. He has also given public presentations on the Kelbourne philosophy and given many classes here. So to talk to you about the role of refinement in mental growth, please give Don Maxwell a big welcome.
Well, good morning, everyone. Put down the water and pick up the mic. So nice to see you. The role of refinement. I drew some of the material for this presentation this morning from an article called The Greatest Power in the Universe. And a question was asked, what is that greatest power? In addition, we've referred to some material out of the Class 3 in Principles in Action. So we see that life today is full of activity. It's full of this materiality. And the concept of refinement doesn't appear to have the same value, the same importance, and perhaps the same application in people's lives as it once did. It seems perhaps outdated, not part of modern living. But when you think about it, refinement is actually a key and important part of this natural expression of growth in life. It's part of what we term the principle of life. The chairman spoke of the seed this morning and how that seed unfolds its purpose through germination. Well, that seed now is ready to grow through many successive stages. And we see, or will see, within this process, the refinement of the structure of that plant until the plant ultimately produces and reproduces the seed from which it was originally germinated itself. So this allows purpose to find expression and fulfillment. In the Kabbalarian philosophy, we teach a number of basic principles to awaken the mind to its purpose. We teach the principle of mathematics to understand that influence of name and its role in creating mind. We teach a law of cycles and how to merge our efforts with time and for the greatest success in our endeavors. We also teach a very important concept of refinement. And we relate this concept of refinement to an understanding of how to live each of the positive, constructive, and spiritual strengths of each of the mathematical numbers, 1 through 9. And this is really the subject of discussion this morning. What we're trying to understand better is this relationship between refinement, living those positive strengths, and the fulfillment of purpose, of spiritual purpose. Now, we understand that there is a physical, mental, and a spiritual aspect to life, and our role is to express the spirit within. That spiritual purpose should be our objective in life. And refinement plays a very vital role in the expression of spirit. It's a key aspect of mental growth. It's a process in which the spirit within finds constructive expression through human mind. And therefore, refinement acts as a catalyst for change in our thinking and in our attitudes where we incorporate that refinement into our lives. So we have to understand and appreciate more fully that refinement is linked to the evolutionary principles, where the potential of consciousness behind life becomes visible as a substance or a quality of substance in life itself. What we're saying here is that reason becomes involved and it takes on form. And as it does so, it creates all the many aspects of this reality that we call life. And in this way, that abstract intelligence becomes a quality of substance. In other words, intelligence takes on form. It's as simple as that. Now that intelligence is subject to the law of growth, and it must evolve. And this is the evolutionary principle. This is the role of life, to evolve. Every species in life plays its part. We have the one-celled amoeba, simple, basic, fundamental. But from that very basic level, all of the myriad aspects of life unfold and become more and more complex. Until at the pinnacle or top of this evolutionary principle is humankind. And we are the most complex and the most refined in potential. Our bodies are part of this finite plane. Our feet are rooted in the ground. But our thoughts draw from that abstract plane of reason, of intelligence. And so our minds or ideas are in the clouds, as it were. And it's human mind that acts as this bridge between these two aspects, the reality in which we live and the plane of reason from which we draw our thoughts. And so this is our great challenge, to rise above the physical and to understand our purpose and our potential and to express reason. So this is a universal principle. And within the universal principle, it's man's role specifically to understand the conscious potential of life. We need to recognize this quality of substance as a reflection of universal intelligence. And we must incorporate this understanding into our thinking pattern consciously. And then more of our thoughts will draw from this universal plane instead of an emotional plane, and growth in mind will be achievable. And that's the objective, using refinement to create growth. So, that begs the question, what is refinement? And we see that it's a change in value. It's a degree of purity. And we use the example of gold. We all would love to have a little more of that. So, 24-karat gold is considered to be pure, and therefore of the highest value, the most concentrated, the purest essence that's been distilled out of that rough process. So, refinement is a process, and in the same way, refinement of mind is a process. And it begins by controlling our feelings and our urges. And once we learn to exercise that control, then we are receptive to the higher essences of thought, and we then are consciously walking against the tides of life. Within life today, there is an intensity to living that interferes so much with our ability to remain individual in mind. People appear to have less and less time to stop and smell the roses, to enjoy life, to develop that quiet contemplation of purpose, and in that way to become part of that evolutionary principle on a conscious level. We do have a purpose. That's the point. We do have a purpose that is universal in nature. We have a conscious potential, and it remains a potential until it finds expression through the mind. What allows us to reach that potential is this development of mind. And yet, mind remains a mystery for most people, but fortunately, not for us, because we understand this unique relationship that's taught in the Kabbalah and philosophy. It's another one of those basic principles. And it's how the law of mathematics and the power of language as a vehicle of human intelligence combine to, through the name, to create mind. And through mind, we develop the concepts of thinking. Now, this principle allows us to understand intelligence, especially that conscious intelligence within the human species. But what causes this consciousness within us to germinate? It's the quality of refinement. The dictionary, of course, refers to refinement as the process of refining, which we've covered, but also fineness of thought, taste, and language. So we see that certain things that we do are very important to this process, and that it ends with a comment that refinement is the freedom from coarseness or vulgarity. And we know that life in its very basic form is more rough and ready, more coarse in nature. But what struck me is the concept of freedom from something. Refinement leads to freedom from many things. Freedom from moods, for example. Freedom from temper, or spites, or hates, or jealousies. All of the many ups and downs that humans experience in their thinking when they don't live by basic principles, when they don't have this mental conscious awareness of their potential in life. So the purpose of refinement is to lift, to lighten, and to free the mind. And we want to understand better how we can accomplish this. What's this process? Well, another one of the basic principles that we teach is the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect are a connecting factor between our thinking, our actions, and the determination of results that we get from our actions. And this is how refinement is a catalyst, because refinement alters those forces at work within our thinking. It changes the dynamics of how we think and what we think about. This alters the path then in the expression of intelligence from a raw state to a more refined state, from that state of raw emotion, a feeling that we have that fuels us in life, to those higher standards of mental conduct and achievement. So this is our potential, and it's a marvelous thing to see many individuals from all walks of life who have refined their craft, whatever it may be, and who have left behind something beautiful, something lasting, something that does reflect the highest potential of human endeavor. And we can do that too. Whatever our walk in life, whatever we pursue, we can mentally achieve, through this process of refinement, a greater understanding of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual relationship that we have to life. So refinement, as a basic concept, is part of the first works in life. We need to refine both the body and the mind if we wish to develop a more universal concept. Physical refinement simply is cleanliness of the body. It's very, very important to have attention to good physical care, to refinement in dress, to good and clean habits, to keeping the body at the highest vibration possible every day. Everything in life is a vibration or an energy. When things become untidy or unclean or rough around the edges, then the energy of the body takes on a lower vibration, and this essentially is a state of deterioration within life. If we're not growing, if we're not progressing, then we're deteriorating. Now this state shows less care, less intelligence, and it reflects more of those basic aspects of life. It reflects less of those vibrations that are light and that are there for more able to attract this quality of reason into our thinking as we strive to express the intelligence of life to our mind, through our thinking, through our actions. And as a result, we're more apt to be emotional in our thinking, in our actions, rather than conscious in our thinking. We have different sets of values. And when we take two liquids, both of them clear, but each of them having a distinct difference in odor, and we can determine very clearly a change in value. So if we take the smell of vinegar versus the fragrance of perfume, one costs a dollar, one costs $100. So life puts value on certain types of things. But what's more important, is that odor is translated by the mind, by the brain cells, and it creates a different response, a different awareness, and a different sense of value for us as people. A lack of cleanliness creates odors. And the mind responds to those lower frequencies of vibration with more emotional thinking and more emotional responses. So greater refinement in our physical habits and environment will lift the mind and make it more responsive to the intellect and more able then to merge with the higher, more refined plane of thought. So this is very important because the physical body is the temple of the spirit. That spirit within must find expression, but first of all, it lives within our physical bodies. This temple of the spirit is like our foundation. It's the means through which we create life in the physical and mental environment that we experience. And of one thing we can be sure, if we wish to have beauty within that temple, we cannot be lazy in our attitudes or undisciplined in our physical environment and our habits. These are not healthy attributes, and the fact remains that we do create that environment. We create it with each thought we think, each action we take, and each motivation that we respond to. Each habit that we allow, and the repetition of habits and attitudes, when they're of a negative nature, can hold us back from progress. So that's the physical aspect. That's the physical opportunity. On the mental side, we know that we want to grow. We want to grow mentally. And to do so, we have to appreciate the physical body as an important part of those first works. We have to have good care for our physical appearance and grooming, and we have to bathe regularly, and we have to maintain good health. We have to care for our physical appearance, and we have to eat properly. These are very basic things that are part of this improvement of the physical to support the mental. These basic aspects are important because they bring with them related mental qualities of mind. And this leaves us open on an emotional plane for influences that are counter to the constructive expression of the spirit, where we have not maintained a high enough vibration and where we have not maintained adequate refinement. So on the spiritual side, our purpose is to lift the mind, to develop a universal perspective, and to do that, we must use the creative power of thought to alter our state of life, to change from its raw state and those raw elements to the polished beauty of the diamond, where every facet of life reflects greater beauty, greater depth, and greater intelligence. So we've been discussing up to this point the role of refinement. I put a number of things on the board that we're covering, but basically we wish to understand how application of certain qualities of thought lead to the development of other qualities of thought. And together, all of these on the constructive side represent those standards and habits of mind, those attitudes of mind, that ultimately lead to refinement of the spirit and refinement of our opportunity in life. So we mentioned at the beginning that we were going to discuss the positive strengths of each of the mathematical qualities, 1 through 9. And we want to understand their relative role in this physical, mental, and spiritual expression of life. So the physical trinity that we refer to represents the 1, the 2, and the 3 quality, the mental trinity, the 4, 5, and 6, and the spiritual trinity, the numbers 7, 8, and 9. So within the spiritual principle, refinement means extracting the very best from each of these mathematical qualities to create, control, and transmute energy for mental growth. So that's a simple explanation of where we want to go. By living the spiritual strengths of the numbers, we can achieve and be a part of this process of refinement. So in looking at the physical trinity, the 1, 2, and 3, refinement means taking that basic raw energy, that power of individuality, which is the spiritual strength of the 1, and which makes it individualistic in nature, and merging that power for the procreation of life, the initiation of growth, the germination of ideas, the awakening of that latent power within the seed. This individuality of the one allows it to stand alone. But for growth to take place, that germination that the chairman spoke about must take place. So the two quality on the spiritual side represents then the refinement of that individualistic quality of life through the exchange of ideas, the interaction with others to stimulate thinking, to be more expressive, to develop the art of diplomacy, which is the strength of the two. To learn from association and develop a broader understanding of people is very key to how life improves and refines. People collectively represent the conscious mouthpiece of reason on this finite plane. And so interaction with people is a very important part of the refinement of life. So if we wish to create energy, then we must develop refinement, and that is a catalyst that creates this urge for greater refinement, greater appreciation of the finer expressions and the finer trappings of life. This interaction between the spiritual strengths of the one and the two quality leads then to all of the progressive steps of human endeavor. The spiritual strength of the three quality is the power of constructive self-expression. The ability now of that association of the two to be lifted to a higher level of interaction in the germination of those ideas in such a way that it advances and promotes the philosophical appreciation for the beauties of life, where we begin to see the true potential of the seed now becoming realized in a basic form. We see this in the three's ability to lift others through that magnetic, generous, ambitious, and scientific nature, their inquisitive and appreciation for life, this ability to be happy, to be optimistic, and to be artistic, and express all of these beautiful creative aspects of life. So they have this power to live, to love, and to experience life. So we're creating energy. And now we want to focus and direct that energy. So the mental phase, the 4, 5, and 6, represents the spirit finding expression on a more intellectual level, where the discovery and exploration of life develops greater depth, greater awareness of both the physical and mental challenges of living, and where the mind then takes responsibility for the stewardship of life, to use the energies that we've been creating and direct them into constructive pursuits. So, in aid of that, the spiritual strength of the 4 represents steadfastness, to attend to the details needed, to bring good ideas into form, and to provide structure and order so that life can be successful. The strength of the 4 quality is their ability to apply that practical, analytical, patient, an intelligent approach to life that can be relied upon to create this foundation for progress. So we can see that that is a very, very important aspect of our personal growth and our opportunity for growth, to create this foundation for progress. The spiritual strength of the 5 is the quest for new discoveries, new growth, new truths in life. The ideal of the 5 is to create new avenues for the advancement of life constructively, to take the early potential that we first saw in the 3 quality and to investigate, to promote new ways to bring that potential to a fuller expression, a fuller opportunity. The 5 is interested in discovering new truths and applying those truths for the improvement of the human condition. We have all this energy, all this enthusiasm. So along comes that 6 quality, which has the spiritual strength of reliability. The 6 then adds intellectual substance to refine ideas into a responsible structure so that effort is rewarded by results. The 6 is conscientious to the original ideals that we created, and it has that cheerful, modest, and patient quality to ensure that effort is put toward the right areas to bring about the proper steps of growth. So it's this practical ability to make things happen in the right way that is so much a part of this phase in our thinking, this quality of reliability. So this quality has the broader perspective to ensure that refinement in thought reflects a higher standard of mental conduct and keeps our habits clean and constructive and progressive. So we've now developed energy, we're trying to control that energy, and the purpose then of controlling that energy is to establish mental individuality. Just like we had physical individuality as the strength of the one, mental individuality is the strength of a sixth quality, and it's necessary in life. We must always be cautious then not to be drawn into the lower mental attitudes of emotion, which are so much a part of mass planes of thinking. Mental individuality is the true objective of this phase of growth, and it's a simple goal: freedom from limitations that restrict and hinder the spirit from its full expression. Now, we live in life, and therefore life imposes on us this basic physical limitation of the physical plane. So it's this fixed ability to rise above that physical plane and to see the potential of life from a new opportunity. And that's a transition that we'll cover a little bit later. So the more importantly is, how do we break free from these limitations? Well, we use the development of an adherence to standards. Standards in our thinking, standards in our conduct, standards in our dress, standards in many, many areas of life. And interestingly enough, standards also today seem rather passé. And yet they are very important building blocks as measurements of improvement. They measure us against the objectives we set. They steady our resolve to remain true to those objectives, and they create the incentive for effort and a sense of value and an appreciation for accomplishment. So standards are essential, and they're evident in all great endeavors, both in business and in personal accomplishment. They are really what separate the wheat from the chaff. So if we ask ourselves this question, where do we want to go in life? And what standards will we set to get there? Then we are looking at life from this broader perspective, and we realize that the true value here is to develop and understand, to become more conscious of this bigger picture of life. So there's a quote from this article, The Greatest Power in the Universe, which is so applicable here. By merging with the higher, more refined plane, we become receptive to the plane of peace, quietude, and contemplation. We draw our minds upwards to attract thoughts that are of a higher nature. The more conscious we become of reason, the stronger is this evolutionary pull. So mental growth really means then that we must become more conscious of life, more responsive to this evolutionary principle. And for this to happen, we must attend to the first works on the physical plane, and we must be very attentive to the first works of the mental expression of life. So we spoke about this transition from the six to the seven, this transition of using and controlling energy for a higher purpose. And in the mathematical principle of 1 to 9, the number 7 represents the doorway to the within, where the spirit turns away from the physical pursuits of life and becomes more prepared to receive wisdom, to enter into that spiritual awakening where the secrets of mind are revealed. So this is a potential, but we also know this phrase, narrow is the path and few are they who find it. What this is really saying is that the path to wisdom is often filled with good intentions, with the best of intentions. But more often than not, we fall short in the effort that's required to refine the body and make the mind a worthy instrument to receive wisdom. Nothing comes for free. We must apply effort. And until we do so, then the door is closed. Our task in life is to open that doorway, to awaken the mind through refinement of ideals, refinement of our thoughts, and refinement in our actions. And to do this, we require that process of a broader application of standards in every aspect of our thinking, every aspect of our life. So the dictionary refers to standards as a definite level of excellence, a degree or a definite degree or any quality viewed as the measure of what is adequate for some purpose. So we have to be adequate for the purpose of mental growth. We have to develop a degree of proficiency. And where is it more important to have standards and to develop proficiency than in those aspects of our thinking, those actual thoughts that we create, or rather that do create a state of balance or imbalance in our thinking? So there's a little phrase in business: to be there where lightning strikes. You want to capitalize on an opportunity, you have to be where lightning strikes, where that moment of impact, of decision takes place. So if we want to grow, we have to be aware that until we change our thinking, opportunity won't be there. But the moment we do open our thinking and become more aware in life, then lightning strikes. More energy comes and we are aware of certain opportunities that will generate and affect our daily experience and convert it from less attractive to more attractive experiences. So we want to develop attitudes that at the time when we are faced with challenges, that we can rely upon those standards that we've established, those concepts that we've been developing, and then express the positive, constructive qualities of mind instead of responding in that pivotal moment in time to those personal challenges. If we are observers of human emotion, then we see that people live and experience many different feelings, many different emotions. And each feeling and emotion has two sides. There's a duality, a positive and a negative, or a constructive and destructive side. So we should ask ourselves, what's the difference between the experience of happiness or sadness? Just an energy and thought. Just the difference in the attitude or the habit of converting a feeling into a better choice of emotion, to lift that feeling out of reaction, moodiness, or anger, and instead to think and create and direct that energy to maintain balance. So much of our happiness and so much of that energy that we consume or create for improvement is rooted in the quality and the substance of our attitudes and our habits. So attitudes and habits, we've mentioned here on the board, is very important, along with standards, to create this quality of refinement. And the management of attitudes and habits leads to the daily experiences that we have, the daily results that we create. February the 7th, there was a discussion where a point was made that, and I'll read it here, balance is the harmony of equality, of cause and effect. The quality of intelligence comes into life as the particular character and expression of a person as a potential. It is the conscious development of that intelligence that achieves the potential through the balance between the urge, the thought, and the actions. Now, we're all subject to the limitations of ourself and our self-image. We have certain mathematical qualities, we have a certain background, education, family environment, and each of these areas leaves an imprint in our thinking, in how we act and who we are. But there is freedom still to create our own pattern through our own creative effort to think more individually. We can merge with that universal plane when and where we convert feeling and emotion, which are limited in nature, to a more universal perspective that through refinement leads to freedom. So freedom is the objective of refinement. And what freedoms do we need in order to grow? Well, we need freedom from physical habits that limit us. We need freedom from mental limitations, which restrict our growth. But to get those things, we need to have the freedom to change our thinking, to be more flexible. We need freedom to create happiness as a permanent state. So this is a creative process, and it comes down to, so often, a change in energy and change of attitude. Came across a little quote in a medical self-help book the other day that said, the greatest limitation to good health is hardening of the attitudes. I thought that was quite interesting, that when we want to grow so much, it's just an attitude. And Mr. Parker said in a quote, in an article, if a person is too bullheaded, and often we can be, he lacks the finer shades of feeling or emotion, and thus he loses refinement and the understanding of the finer shades of feeling. So the point here is this importance, this relationship between standards, habits, and attitudes, and this creation of refinement, and this receptivity to the finer shades of feeling and thought to lift us in our emotional awareness of life. We see that emotion is that raw energy that fuels the body, and refinement is that process through which energy is converted to mental power. And it requires the application of standards by any means to develop the mental power and direct it into constructive energy towards the achievement of our goals. Another very important standard, part of the first works, is control of the power of the word. Language is that vehicle for human intelligence. Language expresses concepts. Those concepts require refinement in thought to connect with the conscious plane. So the more refined our language, the more refined our concepts. It's a very direct relationship. And higher mental standards require higher degrees of mental conduct and greater degrees of control. So it's important to be vigilant, not to be drawn into lower mental attitudes and awarenesses of the emotions. Instead, we need to counter those things with respect for others, with objectivity, enthusiasm, and optimism, which we've listed here as important aspects of application. These things lift the mind. Appreciation and love for people, they're universal in nature, and they, again, will help us to control the environment in which we live. We have to develop perspective, because this allows greater detachment. And that detachment allows for greater tolerance, greater kindness, greater patience and understanding of our fellow man. And all of these things together create a happy, stable, and progressive individual. So these application of standards and concepts leads to the development of the constructive qualities of the mathematical numbers, 1 through 9. The constructive qualities that ultimately support greater refinement and greater growth. So we come to the spiritual expression of the numbers, which include, in this spiritual trinity, the numbers 7, 8, and 9. And this phase represents the spirit finding a new awakening. Once the seven quality turns within through that doorway to discover the beauty of life, the truths of life, to have this vision of what life could be. And yet, It takes, again, still more effort to bring that new awakening into reality. Our consciousness is developed by merging with the higher, more refined plane. And this is the ambition of the seven quality. This is why they're theoretical, reflective, and inspirational in their nature. This is why that quality seeks to answer life's problems. The five wanted to understand and discover those problems. The seven wants to understand those questions up to life's problems, and they're deep thinkers, and they're thinking about what the answers could be. Their studious nature then turns away from the material and toward the spiritual, and they seek the placidity of mind, which is the keynote strength of the seven, and which is the spiritual strength of that quality. The eight quality then has the broadness of perspective, the organizational ability to provide fair and equitable distribution of life's assets, to create equilibrium and balance between effort and reward. So all of the potential that was within the seed creates this pattern of growth that refines the process, the structure, and allows the potential within the seed to find the opportunity for fulfillment. The eight brings that opportunity into reality through this organizational ability to put things in good order. So in this way, the eight is providing the justice for life, the justification for the potential being realized. Their purpose is to recreate the seeds of wisdom on that spiritual level. The nine, then, represents universal love. And it's the nine's role to lift, to inspire, and to elevate this state of equilibrium, which was established by the eight, to express the idealistic, visionary, and universal concepts that will energize those seeds of wisdom created by the eight and fulfill their spiritual potential in this pattern of growth. So the true role of refinement means altering the state of being. As we refine our minds to receive and express from the higher planes of reason, we become less involved in the incidentals of life, less involved in that physical trappings of life, and more concerned with spiritual qualities of mind. And these require a more universal perspective, less orientation towards self, greater objectivity. And as we express more of the strengths and less of the weaknesses, then we see that objectivity develop. And in this way, then, we become conscious of the bigger picture. We develop an affinity, an attraction to the higher plane of reason, the higher planes of thought that draw us ever upward in our thinking. And we see our life begin to reflect our efforts in a successful way. And at this point, refinement takes on a different role, which is to use energy then to elevate the mind towards life's purpose. We saw that physical refinement was concerned with the creation of energy. Mental refinement involved the control of energy for constructive mental experience, the ability to use less than we created so that we could redirect that surplus energy for the elevation of mind towards the achievement of constructive goals and ambitions. Spiritual refinement then is linked to this transmutation of energy, where we alter the state of energy, we alter that state of being. And to do that, we must generate more power in the mind to lift our thinking above those physical limitations and respond more to this evolutionary pull where we are drawn upwards to express the principle of life. To do that, we really must set our targets to move away from self-orientation and move more towards that positive, constructive expression of the strength of all of the numbers, 1 through 9. This is the path to spirituality. It's these qualities of mind that are universal in character and reflect spiritual refinement. They are more closely linked to the plane of reason, and expressing them will bring more reason into our own life. Living the strength of each number creates a conscious energy. And this attribute attracts, or conscious energy rather, attracts positive attributes that we desire. Greater refinement, greater mental awareness, more discipline, more control, more intellectual use of emotion, positive attributes. And at the same time, it repels negative limitations. So this is how we turn the emotion into the intellect and really develop our opportunity in life to create freedom of mind, which is the expression of growth through its various phases. So we spoke at the beginning that in the Kabbalah and philosophy, we teach basic principles. But the mathematical principle is the first basic law. It's the expression of the universal intelligence linked directly to the finite plane. So a better understanding of the mathematical principle is very important. When we start off in life analysis training, we first understand this original initial concept of the mathematical principle, the numbers 1 through 9, and we struggle to understand what they mean. But gradually, through the various classes and studies, we become more aware, more understanding, and more alert to how the mathematical principle works, until we arrive at this point where we see that the qualities of the numbers from 1 to 9 are expressions of intelligence in their purest form. They represent the reason within being. The more we express the strength of each of those numbers, then, the more we express refinement, and the more constructive and the happier will be our life. So, thank you.
Thank you, Don Maxwell, for that perspective on the key role of refinement in human thinking and human growth. I have a few announcements here. Today, of course, is March the 1st, day of the month, and on Tuesday the 3rd, the Life Analysis training class that started, I believe, 2 weeks ago, is continuing on here at 5912 at 7:30 p.m., and also cycle management training, as I mentioned, starts as well. And this is the second class of our 5 introductory classes, programs through the Kabbalah philosophy, and deals with what a cycle is and how and why our thoughts and experiences change from day to day. So if you have any contacts, anyone you want to introduce to the Kabbalah philosophy, this used to be a beginning class. I don't know if it still is. No, okay. They would have to have life analysis training as a prerequisite. Apologize for not being up to date on that. But it's available for anyone at that level. Thursday, the 5th, we have Kabbalah Men's Club and Kabbalah Women's Clubs here at 5912 at 7:30 p.m. And then next weekend, we don't have any functions, but Daylight Savings Time starts.